Welcome to the Dominion Embassy Broadcast. Lord, I love to sing your praise. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
So today we want to start looking at resurrection of the dead. And we'll begin from Matthew chapter 28, 18 to 20. Okay. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Therefore means that regarding the power, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, with you all, really, in the Greek, even unto the end of the world. So, I want us to note where Jesus Christ says that we should go and teach all nations, and we should teach them all things that he taught us. So it's important for us to look at the subject of resurrection of the dead. It's not a very common subject, but Jesus actually taught it, and he commands us that we should go and teach all that he taught, not part of what he taught. You know, as far as Jesus Christ is concerned, partial obedience is iniquity, is rebellion, is lawlessness. And he demonstrated it, or is demonstrated in 1 Samuel chapter 15, where we see Saul, King Saul, going to fight the Amalekites. God said that he should destroy everything. And here he goes to destroy some, he keeps some, and he claims that I've obeyed God. That's how the carnal human being will always behave before the Lord. Says, I've obeyed God. Samuel says, how come I hear some bleating and all that? So, oh, this one, we left them to sacrifice to the Lord your God. And Samuel said, no. My brother, this thing is not done. The Lord said, go and destroy everything. So you should destroy everything. And he said that what he had done amounted to iniquity, to rebelling against God, and to following his own law, lawlessness. And that is a kind of exemplary judgment that we should always bear in mind when we partially obey God. Jesus was stopped at nothing than the fullness of what he has said should be. He is a perfect God. And he won't take half and say, it doesn't matter, let me take it like that. That's not how it is. And you know, in the Bible, all partial obedience is rewarded, or as it were, punished with rejection. Rejection. Rejected Saul, and in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23, Jesus Christ is going to reject other partial obedience. Say, I never knew you. It's nothing to me. Okay, so I want us to, with this, try and enter into the subject of resurrection of the dead. Some places, uncharted territories. Nevertheless, we have to go through those places, because he said that we should teach everything he taught. We should teach everything that he taught us. Okay, so let's look at the book of John chapter 3. The two remaining subjects we have to do, resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment, is going to take us from the present world into the world of eternity, or the realm of eternity. And I want to show you something in John chapter 3, what Jesus Christ regard as things pertaining to this present world, and other things he regards as things pertaining to eternity. So we all go to John chapter 3, and then we'll read from verse 12 to verse 13. John chapter 3, verse 12 to verse 13. Okay. John 3:12. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Now, please lift up your heads. Let me give you a background. Jesus Christ is talking to Nicodemus about being born again. Okay? And he says that except you are born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So he's speaking about being born again. He's speaking about entering the kingdom of God. He's speaking about being like the Holy Spirit. You know, verse 8, John chapter 3, says that the Spirit blows or moves where he wants. And that is how everybody who is born of the Spirit is like. So these are the things that Nicodemus is hearing. And Jesus Christ is describing these things that he tells Nicodemus. Being born again, entering the kingdom or kingdom life, and flowing with the Holy Spirit. He talks about these things in verse 12. He says that if I have told you earthly things, what is Jesus saying? Being born again is an earthly thing. Entering the kingdom is an earthly thing. Flowing with the Holy Spirit is what? An earthly thing. Can you see that from your Bible? Look at your Bible. Okay? You see that Jesus is trying to categorize things that he sees. And he tells Nicodemus that if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, he's talking about being born again is an earthly thing. Kingdom life is an earthly thing. Flowing with the Holy Spirit is an earthly thing. Right? So he says that if I've told you these things and you don't believe, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven. Powerful, powerful, powerful. Wow. So Jesus says that there are some things which are earthly things, innocent. Sometimes we get confused and we think that, well, those things are heavenly things. No, but Jesus says they are earthly things. They are things that takes place on this earth. Getting born again will not take place in heaven. Entering the kingdom, you don't enter the kingdom in heaven. You don't flow with the Holy Spirit in heaven, so to speak. You know, all of these things are earthly things. So he says that there are other things which he regards as heavenly things. And he says that those heavenly things, they are not things that I have told you, Nicodemus. All the things you have heard from me, John chapter 3, they are earthly things. They are not heavenly things. Why does he not tell us about heavenly things? He says that it's because we find it even difficult to walk in the earthly ones. How much more if I tell you about heavenly things or things concerning eternity? Wow. In verse 13 is amazing. He says that, well, he came down from heaven and he is still in heaven. He is in heaven. Whilst he was talking, the Son of Man is in heaven. Wow. So we see that Jesus Christ actually tells us that we will find difficulty in believing things outside the realm of this present world. Okay? Almost all of the things that we have done, from repentance to laying on of hands, are actually earthly things. But resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment is talking about heavenly things. Things about eternity, the realms of eternity. So I want us to bear this one in mind, that some of the things that you are going to hear, we are going to talk about, because they are things that pertains to the realm of eternity, you will try to use your mind, but your mind will not help you. You just have to take it. You wonder, how will it be? How will God judge people? How will the resurrection of the dead, everybody coming out, how will it be? But you have to take it. Because Jesus said, look, I have not even told you about heavenly things. Because you find difficulty believing it. But we should believe it. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew chapter 22 also. Let's lay another background. Matthew 22 and then verse 23 to 33. The scriptures is telling us about the Sadducees who came to Jesus to question him. To question him about resurrection. And they paint a picture of somebody who married a wife and died. And in the Jewish custom, the brothers and all that have to marry this widow. And seven of them, they all married, but before they could have children, they all died. So they asked Jesus, in the resurrection, this resurrection that you are teaching about, resurrection of the dead, whose wife shall it be? Because all of the brothers married this woman. So whose wife shall this woman be? And we see the answer of Jesus in verse 29. Matthew 22, verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection, then he gives a teaching about the resurrection. But I want us to examine verse 29, Jesus' answer to the Sadducees who did not believe in the resurrection. Jesus Christ tells them that the reason why they are erring is because they don't know the scriptures, nor the power of God. Jesus, is, in other words, is telling us that if we don't have an understanding of scriptures, we will find it difficult to understand the resurrection of the dead. And if we do not understand the power of God, we will not be able to grapple with the resurrection of the dead. The power of God. What is the power of God? You know, some people think that Jesus demonstrated God's power. I have a problem with that one. Jesus demonstrated God's power when he heals the sick and he works miracles and things like that, you know. But I believe that when Jesus was working all the signs and the wonders, it was not to demonstrate God's power. It was to demonstrate God's love. Love. God's love. He came with one assignment to show us the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. He came as a symbol of God's love to demonstrate what? God's love. Because I tell you what, the power of God is far greater than healing headache, than healing a cripple. Actually, when somebody is crippled and the person is healed, it shows God's love for the person much more than God's power. There are other things that shows God's power in a greater way than healing the sick. Creation story shows God's power, because nothing was there and God said, let there be light. Something which was not there came. That is a demonstration of power. So I see more demonstration of God's power in the Old Testament than in the Gospels than in the New Testament. I see more demonstration. What miracle is greater than stilling the son for almost one day? What miracle Paul worked is greater than Joshua, who never worked a miracle, but only to say that let the sun stand still, and the sun could not move. Never happened in the New Testament. Old Testament. Why? In the New Testament, God is retaining humanity to his love. What miracle is greater than parting the Red Sea and letting the people of Israel walk on dry ground? Is it the shadow of Peter healing the sick? No. What greater miracle is there in the creation story than in the New Testament? So, what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that if you want to understand the resurrection, if you don't want to have problems with the doctrine, his teachings on resurrection, you must know really God's power. That is why I'm describing to you that God's power is not in Jesus healing the sick. It's God's love that he is demonstrating.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
You can call it God's power, fine, God's power, but I know that God is more powerful than healing headache or malaria. Creating the body itself is even more powerful than that. Okay, so Jesus is saying that in order to approach resurrection of the dead, innocent, you must understand really what we mean by God's power. And you must understand that God's power is referring to Old Testament and the scriptures too. He referred to, not knowing the scriptures. He wasn't talking about the scriptures of the New Testament. He was actually referring to the scriptures of the Old Testament and the miracles of the Old Testament. Creation story. You know, the world began with power demonstration. And God said, and God did this, and God did that. That's power. So, in order to understand resurrection of the dead, take your mind back to creation, where God is demonstrating power, creating man, molding man, breathing into his nostril, and man rises up, becomes a living soul. That's power. That's power. From nowhere, things begin to exist. So in order for you to appreciate what we are going to teach, we need to bear in mind three things. The first one is that we will find some difficulty using our minds to understand the resurrection of the dead. Number two, you must consider the power of God if you must appreciate resurrection of the dead. And number three, you must appreciate and understand the scriptures of the Old Testament if you should be able to cope with the subject of resurrection of the dead. Can I have an amen? This is just the introduction to the subject. I want us to do a little more introduction. We want to look at a very important word. That word is eternity. We want to look at eternity. It's a very important word to the Christian. But I realize that most believers do not really understand the word eternal. And we say, well, God so loved the world that we will have eternal life. What does it mean? Because listen, ladies and gentlemen, eternal life is a life that does not belong to this realm. It's a life from a different realm altogether that God gives by grace unto us. It's a powerful thing. Many times I realize that believers confuse eternity with everlasting. So I've done a little bit of explanation of these two things, and I just hope that I can be able to explain it to you, because it's a very tough thing, you know. Everlasting has got to do with endless life, life without an end. But eternal life or eternity is not talking about life without an end. Everlasting has got to do with time, where something doesn't end. Everlasting, it lasts forever. But eternity is different from everlasting. Eternity is different from what? Everlasting. Everlasting, or eternity, goes beyond time without an end. It is an aspect of God's nature. Eternity is an aspect of God's nature. That's the first thing you need to know. So everything about God is eternal, because eternal is an aspect of his nature. Everything about God is eternal. His life is eternal. His life is eternal. His life describes what he has. Is eternal. His life is eternal. His glory is eternal. Eternal just means that it doesn't belong to this present world. Eternal life doesn't belong to this present world. Eternal glory that God wants upon us doesn't really belong to this present world. When I say this present world, I really mean this present age. Okay? So everything about God is eternal. His love is eternal. His judgment is eternal. Judgment that comes from God is what? Eternal. That is why Hebrews 6 tells us about eternal judgment. That's God's judgment. The scriptures also talks about, refers to the Holy Spirit as an eternal spirit. In other words, he doesn't belong to this realm. He belongs to the realm of God. The Bible also talks about eternal redemption. It's a redemption that does not belong to this world, this age. It's a redemption that is cooked in eternity, in a certain realm that God brought unto us or introduced unto us. So eternity is God's nature. It is his nature. Okay? Eternity is his nature. That's the first thing I want you to know about eternity. Eternity is God's nature. Number two, and closely associated with it, eternity is God's realm. Eternity is God's realm. It is an uncreated realm in which God lives. So, look at the book of Isaiah 57. You see how the subject is like. It's wonderful. Jesus didn't say much. Otherwise, we all have problems. Isaiah 57 and then verse 15. Let's get there. It's a very important scripture about eternity. So first of all, we have said that eternity is an aspect of God's nature. It's an aspect of God's nature. And closely tied to it is the fact that eternity is God's realm. It's the uncreated realm in which God exists, in quotes. All right? God does not exist. God is existence. But in order to describe these things, we see that eternity is an uncreated realm in which God exists. Isaiah 57 verse 15. For thus says the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. So God is describing himself, says that I inhabit eternity. In other words, I habitate, I live in eternity. So eternity is where God lives. That's his realm. That's where he lives. Everybody has got a realm. Human beings, our realm is not mass. Our realm is earth. And even on earth, our realm is the dry part of the earth. Our realm is not the sea. You can't live in the sea. That's not a natural realm, right? And fishes have also got their realm. Their realm is the sea. Birds have got their realm. Their realm is the air. That's where they live. That's where they are supposed to be. But God, where is he supposed to be? He's supposed to live in an uncreated realm called eternity. See, that's where I live. I live in eternity. So God lives in a realm that is called eternity. And eternal life is the life in his realm. The life in that realm is called eternal life. Okay? Eternal spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the spirit in his realm. That's the spirit that belongs to his realm. The spirit here is called the human spirit, the one in us. It's called the human spirit. It belongs to this earth, right? But God lives in eternity. Eternal glory is the glory in his realm. Eternal judgment is the judgment in his realm. So what God does, oh thank God, is that he imports the life in his realm and the glory in his realm and the love in his realm into us to have a foretaste of the kind of life we will live when this present age is over and we are living in the age of eternity. Hallelujah. So God's realm where he lives is his nature. He lives in his nature. And his nature lives in him. Is your nature in you? Yes, your nature is in you. God lives in his nature, and his nature lives in him. Say, Pastor, all these things, you see, the mind is not helping us at all. It's true. Because these things are not a mental thing. Even God lives. God doesn't live, really. God is life. In him is life. But we have to say something, that God lives in his nature, and his nature lives in him. Like my nature is in me. But I don't live in my nature. God lives in his realm. His realm is his nature. And his nature is his realm. So God lives in himself. He lives in himself. So, that's something about eternity. Resurrection of the dead is taking us out of the present world into what? The realms of eternity. Eternal judgment is taking us to the realms of eternity. Eternal judgment is judgment from eternity. It isn't going to steal and being caught and being punished. Or maybe doing something like Ananias and Sapphira and you see God's judgment. That's not eternal judgment. That's not eternal judgment. We have got what is called judgment in time. That is what Ananias and Sapphira got. That is what Sodom and Gomorrah they got. And that is what sometimes we get in this life. So the Bible says that some people's judgment is here, but some other people it follows after. Have you read that in Timothy? We will come to eternal judgment. You see that there are two types of judgment. Ananias and Sapphira received the judgment of God, but in the eternal judgment they will be resurrected and judged with eternal standards. Yeah, Sodom and Gomorrah, were they judged on this earth? But that's judgment in time. What Jesus Christ taught was eternal judgment, judgment from God's realm. And that's what eternal judgment is about. But we will look at that. It's only that eternal judgment and resurrection of the dead all belong to the realm of eternity. I'm not talking eternity. I'm not talking about time without an end. I'm talking about a certain realm, a certain world, an uncreated world in which God lives and which lives in God.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.